Welcome to WRHU's One-on-One Stories. For the next 30 minutes, our host, Dr. Gregory Barroza, will talk with influential and inspirational guests. One-on-One Stories explores all areas of life and lifestyles affected by health, fitness, nutrition, medicine, mental attitude, and general well-being. It's One-on-One Stories with Dr. Gregory Barroza.
We're getting into a new section here. I know that you have a very strong overhand right and came up with all the observers. They like to come up with a way to stereotype you in boxing and a lot of the sports. So they said he's using the hammer. And then they tried to evaluate, you know, who is this kid named Cletus? That's an unusual name. And Cletus Seldon with an overhead right hammer. And they found out you were Jewish and So they called you the Hebrew Hammer, and it's kind of stuck, and I know you're proud of it. What was it like growing up as a Jewish kid in Shirley, Long Island?
It wasn't tough. It was more the way I grew up in general, being just literally one of the poorest kids in one of the blue-collar neighborhoods. So it wasn't about too much about the being Jewish part. Was actually more the way that I grew up. My mother, she's a hoarder. She's bipolar. My dad, he works 24/7 for a tow truck company, and it wasn't the easiest life in general. Just to grow up being Jewish, there's maybe five or six Jewish kids in the school district. In my high school, there's 4,000 kids, and I only knew about five or six of them that were Jewish. I had my bar mitzvah, and nobody really, because no one really ever like cared to ever take me as just being like this Jewish kid. Everybody knew I was Jewish, but no one ever like disrespected me in that sense. I always felt, though, because I was Jewish, I was a little bit gifted more than everybody else, because it's just the way I felt that I always was. My brother felt the same way. We were had a little bit more gift, and we always thought it was because we were Jewish.
Well, I know you had an honor here a couple weeks ago. There was Team Israel Lacrosse was in town, played the New York Lizards, the top professional team in the world, and Israel was rated seventh in the world in the last world competitions, and they were honored to have you throw out the ball for the beginning of the game. I know it was a very emotional experience for them, and you pumped them up. I was there to hear you give the opening speech. You told every one of the players, just go out there and give their best regardless of what happens today. And how did it hit you?
Oh, that was awesome. That was probably one of my favorite events I've done, that I've ever done, and I've been to a lot of them. That was a very touching thing, because especially for me, not just being Jewish, but being a Jewish athlete, there's not too many of us. And for me to be in the atmosphere and be able to speak to these guys, these men, who pretty much do the same thing as me. They're trying to compete on a level where everybody thinks you can't do it. I hear it all the time when I tell people who I am, I'm Jewish, and then I tell them that I'm a professional boxer, they kind of look at me like, there's not that many people in that sport I see. I go, yes, and it's pretty much in the entire world in all sports. When it comes to being a Jewish athlete, it's definitely something different and special. I always say you can take a Jewish athletes, and you could probably put them, all of them, on maybe a menu. You could probably flip it back and forth. Here's all the great Jewish athletes. You could go take an Italian. You got a whole dictionary of athletes on there. It's totally different. We're like the size of a menu. It's definitely different, and that's why I get some focus than others in boxing, but also, like you said, I can punch extremely hard, and that was actually makes a difference. On top of that, I have a rugged, tough style, so it definitely helps.
Well, it's interesting because back in the early 20s and 30s, New York City, there was a lot of Jewish boxers, and of course, there's been a lot of Italian boxers too. And I think it's a sign of the times. Whatever minority group appears to be the next burgeoning group, that's one of the ways they fight themselves sort of up into society to be accepted. So now we have a lot of blacks and Hispanics, and who knows what the future holds. But who were some of your great legends, inspirational boxers, first from the Jewish community and second, you know, in general? Can you throw a couple names out there of people that you admire and aspire to be like?
Growing up and realizing how boxing transformed, I didn't know that in the 1900s, the early, when the immigrants came over, the Jewish immigrants came over, they were actually the most popular of all Jewish fighters in the world. The Jewish people were actually more in boxing than everybody else, just like you said, how the Hispanics and the blacks are now. Growing up, like maybe for when it came to Jewish boxers, Barney Ross was probably one of my favorites. He's probably the favorite athlete that I liked, Jewish wise. But when it came down to watching professional boxing from the past, Rocky Marciano, Joe Frazier, like you said, Jack Dempsey is probably one of my favorites, and my most loved boxer that I ever enjoyed was Henry Armstrong. Henry Armstrong, by far, is the greatest professional fighter that has ever lived. The guy would come out in the 15th round and still throw 100 to 200 punches. So those are the guys that I enjoy watching, and those are the guys that I try to take what they do and bring it into today.
Well, I know you have an emotional side, even though you're in the ring, you like try to beat the crap out of everyone, because not only do you wear the Jewish star on your robe and with the saying, remember Masada, which obviously relates to Masada in Israel, but you also wear purple in honor of a previous girlfriend who was suffering from Hodgkin's disease. And so the fact that you have these important memories and you carry them through tells me that you got some emotional substance below and you're just trying to break out.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to keep as active with anybody in the community. One of the biggest things I do now is the veterans. My girlfriend's a veteran. She served 8 years in the Army. She was in the military police. She was a gunner on a 50 cals, and she taught the Afghans how to defend themselves. She was the only woman on base. With that, I have our website, if you buy one of our shirts, $2 of every item that is sold goes to Vets Lives Matter, which is actually run by one of my friends who is a really, really terrific veteran from the Marines, and he does hikes all over Long Island. He's done hikes around the White House. He's been all over the place, and he does this cause for all these military people that come in from being in the Marine military, and they don't know how to set their lives up, and they have PTSD and everything, and he helps them out, which is a great thing. So when it comes to those kind of things, I take something very special to my heart. My father always taught me to speak with your head. Don't speak with anything else. Or think with anything else. But when it comes to me, I have always think with my heart first, and then everything else goes. So when people want to do calls and they want to meet up with me or anything, I always return their calls. I always help them out. Even open workouts. We were doing it. We're probably going to go back. And every other week, we literally go to a gym on a Saturday. And we do an open workout, and I talk to the kids, and I enjoy them, and try to do whatever I can to help motivate them. And I enjoy it very much.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you took on a challenge from this old man. I can't wait to get in the ring and throw a couple of hay bombers at you.
Yeah, not a problem.
Not a problem. You don't think I'll be a problem at all, huh? I was a former Miami on-campus champion, you know, from about I don't want to tell you how many years ago, but anyway, no, you've always been generous to the entire community, and I know that you're very generous with your time as far as giving interviews and stuff like that. I have to tell you that some of the people that met you the couple weekends ago that we did meet at that lacrosse game. They said, but he doesn't look that big or that powerful. And I said, you should see him in the ring. And seriously, I'm a veterinarian, and I did, as a kid, work on Secretariat, and I did get to see him race, and I did see Seattle Slough, and I know the trainer of that horse, Billy Turner, very well, and a jockey who rode him several times, a Hall of Famer, Cordero. And they told me that and I saw this on these horses, when they got ready for the race in the stall, they looked like any other horse, but when they got in that starting gate, their girth size increased, everything about them changed, and they turned into monsters. Now, I got to say that the most exciting time is seeing you walk in the ring, because you get all pumped up, and that's when everything happens. You go, holy crap, I don't want to be in there with that guy.
Yeah.
Am I sizing it up correctly?
Absolutely. Happens all the time. Even when people see photos, videos of me, they think I'm actually in a heavyweight, and I've gotten that comment before. I thought you were a heavyweight from the photos, but afterwards, everybody else see me after, and they're like, this little guy knocks everybody out? Get out of here. This little Jewish kid from Long Island knocks everyone out? Look at him. And they're tremendously shocked. Even at weigh-ins, I go to weigh-ins, I lose a lot of weight, people look at me, and they're like, oh, fighting this little skinny kid again. We go into the fight, I have every muscle, everything that I devoted for the past 4.5 years of just my professional career. You can see all the work and effort that I put in and extra stuff that I've put in that other fighters don't do. And that's, like I said, that bodybuilding kind of thing. It definitely pays off when you get in a ring with me. I'm just this humongous guy that you can't push back, you can't do anything. I'm almost like a bully at some points because I'm so focused and so much bigger than everyone else.
Well, you have to be. To be a winner, you have to be. And I know that even though Chris Algieri is in the same management, so to speak, with the same promoter as you, and you sort of know each other in passing, you can't make him your good buddy, because one day you could end up in the ring with him and you got to take him out, and that's just the job you got to do. We could compare that to the modern politics with Donald Trump. That's his opinion. He's just got to take out his competition. It doesn't matter who or what and how nice they are or not nice they are. So I appreciate that part of you. That's another reason that Eddie Futch kept Norton and Frazier away, and they stayed friends and they sparred against each other and sort of teamed up as far as their preparation for Ali and shared notes on that. You're an intelligent boxer. It doesn't matter whether you have ADHD or any of that other stuff. I always come up with a term. I call it sports intelligence or athletic intelligence, and you have it. I mean, it's an instinct, and that's what allowed you at 22 to start developing your skills and knowing where you were missing and knowing what you had to do to start winning. So a lot of times I've heard criticism of people of boxing in general. Who'd want to watch that sport? I say, I'm going to watch boxing tonight. And they say, what, watch two guys beat the hell out of each other? And I said, you don't understand. When you're finally fine-tuned and fit, it's almost like a physical chess match, because you're already calculating, you're already moving by muscle memory about two or three moves ahead of what everyone else is seeing. Maybe you could comment about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's literally like playing chess. The good thing for me, though, being from a Jewish family, I learned how to play chess when I was 4 or 5 years old. So strategy was one of the biggest parts of my development in all sports. I always use a strategy. And when I got into boxing, I didn't really know how to use strategy in boxing, how to use strategy. It wasn't until I met my professional trainer, who came up with strategies and put it in my head every single day, how to enforce it and how to get the blueprint on it. When I'm going into a fight, I already choreographed all the movements over physically, mentally, over and over again. I know the moves that the guy's going to do before he even does it. I know his best punches. I know his same exact movement. The opponents I fight now and the opponents I've seen, they lack in that department that you need very much to have the intelligence and the mind focused to be able to stay in that strategy. Not saying they didn't come in with a strategy. They came in with a strategy, but they lost focus on that. And that brings a big difference in the career of mine. Intelligent-wise, if ever I want to be, everyone says I can go do it. And right now, boxing's what I do, and I enjoy it very much. If I want to go be a school teacher, I can go do that. If I want to go become a correction officer, I can go do that. Right now, I put everything I can through boxing, and I have knowledge that I've gained from experience and the absolute time that I put to process this finally started paying off for about – it didn't start out right away, but it took me about 2.5 years professionally to actually learn how to do all this stuff.
You're listening to WRHU 88.7 FM. Our guest is world-ranked boxer Cletus Seldon, discussing the importance of conditioning, his career, and a proper diet. We return to the second half of part two of our two-part interview, now discussing athletic intelligence.
You know, as a compliment, again, I'm not blowing smoke, but as I said, I think the more intelligent boxers and athletes in general, they prevail, and some of them aren't well-educated and some of them aren't well-spoken, but they have a certain intelligence that the rest of the world just didn't figure out, but we appreciate it when we see it on television or when we see it live. I mean, I got to see a little bit out with Namath and John McEnroe and Muhammad Ali, and I mean, the horses can't talk to us, but you could see it. They just knew something and they were ahead of the competition. So you're there. One guy that I don't know if you followed him at all within the MMA world, this St. Pierre. He's a bright guy too, probably one of the best we've ever known, and retired a little bit early on purpose, but like you, concentrate on all sorts of cross training that the average athlete wasn't doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Boxers think they have to go to the boxing gym. Not too many people do the cross training. Last fight, I cycled two hours a day. I would cycle for 2 hours. That was it. Cycling, the speed training, that was part of my regimen. That's what I enjoyed doing. For me to go into a boxing gym every single day, it is brutal and constantly gets very, very boring, especially when you're in training camp. You know, to Monday, this is the same thing you do Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Tuesday. It's always the same thing you do on those exact days. For me, the cross training doesn't just keep my mind being bored, but the benefits I get out of it is my body's not used to it. I'm shocking my body every time I do something different, and my body always comes out differently for every single fight. And it just transforms, and everybody asks why or how. It's because I do that. I literally cross train in every single thing that I feel that can benefit me and keep my mind from being lost or bored in something. So that's I definitely 100%
well,
love cross training.
I'm glad you said that, and it's interesting. You said you shock your body, and the first time I'm thinking about as you're challenging me, my mind, I'm thinking that just like with your mind, people challenge your mind, and you challenge it as much as shock it into developing in new ways. So what you're saying is you're developing muscles in new ways they didn't have to respond before, and who knows, when you get hit, if you don't have legs, you can't be a boxer, and you've got to have fit legs, and I know you got to do the road work and the cardiovascular and keep your balance. And do you have a couple quick comments for our listening public about just staying fit with their exercise regime? I know a lot of people are going to boxing for exercise now.
Yeah, absolutely. Boxing is probably one of the best workouts I can ever recommend for somebody. Especially if you have a trainer who's consistent with you, be able to go in there, burn calories, work up a sweat, and also learn how to protect themselves. Everybody, I don't care who you are, you always want to know, if something ever happened, would you be able to protect yourself? So at the same time, you get to learn something, you get to sweat, and you get to work out. That's awesome. For me, when I see people in the gym, like I said, on Monday, I know that person's doing the same exact thing on Monday. And every time I come to the gym, even if I'm gone for a year, or if I was here 3 years earlier, that person looks the same. If my brother comes out every Wednesdays, and he sees, since he's off from medical school, he literally sees me every Wednesday. He doesn't never know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm doing a treadmill this time. Maybe I'm doing a step climber. Last time I was swimming. This time I'll be at CrossFit. So every time he comes out, he's like, it's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, oh, you got to meet me here because I'm doing this. He's like, well, okay, whatever. For me, I'm like, all right, I do it because, one, it keeps my body shocked. And like I said before, it keeps me from being bored. It's the biggest thing and the biggest fight you're going to have with yourself is being bored. If you're going on a treadmill or the elliptical for 40 minutes every single day, 5 days a week, you're just going to get so unmotivated to go that it's just like, ugh, why am I even doing this? I'm not seeing any change, not seeing nothing. Well, maybe if you did something else on Monday and realized, oh, let me try that class at the gym. Let me go to the gym down here. Westbury Boxing Gym is open from 4:15 till around 8 or 9 o'clock Monday through Thursday. It's a free boxing gym. You just show up anytime you want, and you can go work out. If you go there long enough, the trainers will start working with you, and you'll see the benefits of being able to cross-train from other sports and other fitness things in your life.
So you think in my 60s it's too late to rejuvenate my career?
I train a guy who's 80 years old. Once a week, this is what he loves to do. He comes in. He's before he started boxing with me, he was depressed, hated his job, and he's a psychiatrist, hated everything. All of a sudden, his wife died as well. All of a sudden, he started doing boxing. I never knew this how he was before me. But when I met his current girlfriend, she said, wow, thank you. He's so much better as a person. It has opened his eyes. He literally says he gets a boxing high after every workout. So I usually have to calm my clients down so that they don't go out there and kill anybody because they get so pumped up and excited when they're doing workouts with me. So there is definitely no age restrictions there.
Okay, well, that's an inspiration. I hope our listeners are tuned into this because at any age, boxing and any kind of sport can help them. I want to tell you that I took a look at Tyson's career record. He had 58 fights, 50 wins, 86% win, 44 by KO, 76% KO. And I looked at your stats, and you're one-third of the way to what he did, just so you know. And your knockout rate is higher. You're at around 78, 79%. Every great fighter will be challenged with someone that gets in their way, and I hope yours is a clear path, but I know you're determined and going to be prepared. And for those of us, our listeners that haven't heard it, when we're in the audience screaming for you, with a Long Island accent, everyone says hammer instead of hammer. So everyone yells hammer time. So
yeah.
We enjoyed this hammer time with you, and hopefully people are going to be tuned in watching your next fight. We got to cut short here, but hopefully next time it might even be in the Barclays Center.
Yeah, I'm hoping to fight soon in Brooklyn or Madison Square Garden, but I'm 100% certain because I went June 17th to Paramount. I will be fighting next, and once the tickets go on sale, buy them. Last fight sold out 3 weeks ahead of time.
June 17th?
So go out there. June 17th.
And who are you fighting, Cletus?
I didn't get a name yet. Also, you can keep up with my training schedule on CletusSeldon.com. I have the calendar there, and it tells you where I will be at for my boxing workout that day. So with the address and everything, and if you ever want to go down and check out the gym to work out yourself, or if you want to work out with just to see me work out, that's a perfect time for you to come down and check it out.
So if there's anyone in our listening audience that wants to contact your promoter, you're still open on that bout. I might get my nomination in right now, but I'll definitely be in the audience. So thank you so much, Cletus. It's been a wonderful interview. You're a great guy, good sport. And for anyone that hasn't seen Cletus box, you got to watch and you got to shout, it's hammer time. Thanks again.